You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Amen. Well, thank you, Tom. And thank you, peeps. Did you appreciate the music on that? Amen. Give him a hand there. Appreciate Shelby and the gang. Bibles open to Philippians 2:14. If you don't have a Bible, we have a blue one in the seat rack somewhere around you. Grab that. That is our gift to you. And it is on page, 1084 in that Bible. So Bibles open, because we like to use the Word of God. Now, some of you use your device or whatever, and that's cool. I have a device. I'm actually preaching off of this, but I also have this. So Philippians 2 and verse 14, Bible's open. And then buzzers off. We've got our little mantra going on. Buzzers off. Turn off your phone or whatever. Turn it to silent if you would. And then if you have a baby, baby's overseeing that baby. If the baby starts a little fuss, then we have three options right there in the back. Look, they're holding up the, it tells you where you can go. We got three options: nursery, family room, or foyer. So if your baby's like, wow, 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 then just go see one of those wonderful people and they will give you that. Now, lots going on. We got a lot to get to. But happy Juneteenth coming up on Thursday, right? Thursday?
Yeah.
So yeah, Juneteenth is going on. And if you don't know what Juneteenth is, you need to learn history. It was when the Emancipation Proclamation finally came, they heard about it in Texas. Because, you know, Texas, they didn't have the internet back then. And so some general went down there and said, oh, yeah, Abraham, you know, he did his thing. I don't know, a while ago, they were just finding out. So that was Juneteenth. That's where it came from. So happy Juneteenth. Also, something else going on. Pastor Jose on our staff, it's his anniversary. But not in marriage, but here at Point Harbor on our staff. So yeah, 15 years. Interestingly, he's not here today. He's on vacation. He's like, I'm done with you folks. So if you see him next week, give him all the money in your pockets, all right? And say thanks for, you know, being here. So he's an integral part of especially our 25 by 35. And we want to keep him as long as we can. Amen. And the cool thing is, if you're new here, most churches, all right, this is just most churches, the average tenure of a lead pastor is like 4 to 5 years tops. And then many of you have been through that. Every 4 to 5 years, different pastor. And music guys, like 2 years. And youth guys, you know, a year and a half. So I've been here 25 years. Sarah has been doing our books for 20. And then Jose, Pastor Tom, 17. Pastor Dan, 13. So, you know, it's a good place to be. Amen? And a lot of that depends on y'all. Because y'all, you ain't perfect. Some of you are stinkers. But you are a wonderful church, right? And I wouldn't trade you for any other mega church anywhere. Amen? Also, Father's Day, how many dads? All right. How many? Keep your hands up if you're a granddad. Granddad, okay. Decent amount of granddads. Great granddads. Great granddads. I see Homer. Anybody else? Anybody join Homer? No, only Homer? If you see somebody, point them out. Where? Pointing. Keep pointing. What? Oh, in the corner. Hi, Al. All right. He's back there with the back row Baptists. All right. Anybody else? Did I miss anybody else? All right. Great, great. Any great? What? Great, great. You guys are great. Great, great. Any great, great granddads? Great, great. All right. All right. They all went to bed already. All right. So. All right. So, hey, happy Father's Day, folks. Appreciate you being here. Also, especially appreciate those of you guys who wanted very desperately to be a father, and for some reason, God has not allowed that. And you're here on Father's Day, and I appreciate that. I know it's probably, you know, rough, harder to come that, but we love you, and thank you for being here. Now, We all have a dad. I started to say, if you have a dad, if you have a dad around who's alive still, make sure that you do something nice for him, okay? Now, some of you, you don't plan, and so in between here and dad's house, you're going to stop at 7-Eleven. All right? So, but the rest of y'all, well, I mean, we need to be like that son of that old man who lived alone in Ireland, and his son and he were potato farmers, and, you know, he was getting up in age, but his son was, you know, strong, you know, always helping dad put in the potatoes. Well, son got in trouble with he was Irish, and he was part of the rebellion against Britain, and he got in trouble with the British police and army, and so they threw him into Hooskow, and now he's in prison, and dad is like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm in my 60s, I got arthritis, and I don't have enough energy to go and till all this soil of my potato field. And so he writes a letter to his son in prison about his predicament. Son, if you're in prison, I don't know what to do. Shortly afterwards, he gets a letter back from his son. It says, for heaven's sakes, Dad, don't dig up that field. That's where I buried the guns. And his dad's like, what? What? So, but at 4 a.m. the next morning, sure enough, a dozen British soldiers come up, and they come in with, you know, just all this equipment, and they tear up that field, they turn up over all that soil, don't find one gun. And now the old man's really confused. He's like, what in the world was that about? He writes a letter quick to his son. Son, this happened, that happened, the British soldiers came, they turned over the whole field, you know, dug up the whole field, now what do I do? His son writes back, now plant your potatoes, Dad. Do something nice for Dad. All right. Even if you're in prison. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. You there? Say I'm there. All right. Now, I write in my Bible. You don't have to, but I like to. I'm very tactile. Starts out with do. Do all things. Underline all things if you're an underliner. Without grumbling. I circled grumbling or disputing. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That. All right, I put a brackets around that because it's here's what's going to happen, or here's why you should, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Now, I underline all the rest of this sentence. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that, brackets around that, here's what's going to happen, in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul says, I want to make sure my ministry counts. One day I want to say, yeah, that wasn't a waste of my time. So that I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice. Circle rejoice. Remember, joy is all through this book of Philippians. This is one of the joy words, rejoice. I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, brackets around that, you also should be glad and rejoice, circle rejoice, with me. Now, ladies, it is Father's Day, but this message is for you too. Amen? You don't get a vacation. This word is for everybody. Say everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. But I'll have some heavy dad emphasis in it just for Father's Day. Now, and let me give you the context of where we're going. All right, if you're new to church, new to the Bible, we're looking today, here's the title if you take notes, and I hope you do, How My Salvation Really Shines. How My Salvation Really Shines. And we get it from the text. Last week, we looked at this often misunderstood but awesome text. I love this. I love it. One of my favorite, you could tell last week, right? This text, he lays down just before where we're picking it up right here, but I wanted to give you context. He says, therefore, all right, whenever there's a therefore in the Word of God, you stop to see what it's. Therefore, all right, he's been talking about Jesus on the cross. He did not consider it beneath himself to come down and humble himself, even though he was God, to humble himself on the cross for you and me. And so Paul's point is, now how can you be haughty and, you know, on your airs and think you're something and you're above serving other people when Jesus, God of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, humbled himself, came to a dirty stable, went to a filthy cross, and because of that, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, circle obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, say this word, these two words. Say it louder. Work out. Work out. Now, I've got, you're like, why is it colored yellow? because I decided to start doing that for y'all, because you can't see where the Bible is in the imperative. An imperative means what? It means what?
Command.
It's a command. It's a command. Now, all of the Word of God, you know, is God's Word, and He tells us what to do. But in these words especially, He's saying, not negotiable, command, in your face, right? If you're a believer, now if you're an unbeliever, hey, you know, throw it away. Who cares? You're going to hell. But if you're a believer, this is a command, and you're going to be judged for it. So He's saying, hey, I want you to work out your what? Own salvation with fear, respect, awe of God, and trembling, understanding your weaknesses, for it's God. Then He says, but hey, you're supposed to do this, but it's God who's giving you the will to do it and the energy to do it for His own good pleasure. So, you trust Christ as your Savior, if you have. You understood that Jesus is God, and He died on that cross. And He went to that grave for 3 days, 3 nights. Not for His sins, but for yours. And then He rose victorious on Resurrection Sunday, empowered over your sins. And now He bought on the cross your salvation and paid for it in His blood. And He offers it to you. What do you have to do? Nothing. Christianity, you can spell, most people spell Christianity or religion, then let's say religion, they spell religion D-O. Do, what do I got to do to get to heaven? But Christianity is not spelled D-O, it's spelled D-O-N-E. It's already done. All you have to do is say yes to the gift. You're not doing anything to get it. If you try to do something to get it, He says, no, no, no. It's like you going up to grandma on Christmas when she bought you a gift, and you're like, grandma, it's too much. Let me give you $100 to help you. And then grandma's offended. God's offended when you go, let me get some baptism to help you out. Let me join the church to help you out. Now, should you do those? Yeah, but not to get to heaven. And so it is done, D-O-N-E. You trust Christ as your Savior. But then what happens? The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, because a whole bunch of you are lacking some stuff. You're like, I ain't lacking nothing. I got the Holy Spirit. You might, but you're lacking something. Hang with me. All right, say, hang with me.
Hang with
me. All right, now, so if you look at this text, you got your thinking caps on. You're already asking, maybe last week, some of you asked the question, all right, so I'm supposed to work out my own salvation. What does that mean? All right, it doesn't say work for, right? That would be doing. It says work it out. When you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you to live forever. He has sealed you by His Spirit. And so you have all of the Spirit of God you're ever going to have. You are sealed with the Spirit. But you could tell me in the foyer, and if I don't know you, Pastor John, don't worry about me. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm sanctified, baptized, simonized, deputized. All right. I don't know if that's true. I've been lied to by a lot of people. Do you realize that people lie to pastors all the time? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most of you who come to counseling, you're lying. So, shouldn't say most of you, but like, you know, 49%. So, they lie to us all the time. And many times they're lying to themselves. I lied to myself for 19, 20 years, thought I was a Christian. If you'd asked me in the Navy, matter of fact, conversation came up. I'm, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, because I believe in God, and I go to church, and I got baptized when I was a baby, so I'm a Christian. No, 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 no. But nobody can look inside to see if the Holy Spirit is there or not. And that's His point. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you need to be working out your own salvation from the inside out. Amen? There is worse things, but it seems like there's being a pastor and you're around a bunch of people who don't know you're a pastor. And I don't, you know, I'm not ashamed of being a pastor, but it just always changes the dynamic of almost any conversation. Because you have somebody and they're oh, how you doing, you know? And then they drop an F-bomb, you know, doing this, and all of a sudden they ask the question that guys will always ask guys within 5 to 10 minutes. What do you do? And then you say, well, I'm a pastor. Vroom, landscape change. The dude has been dropping the F-bombs. All of a sudden he's like, well, praise the Lord. Like, stop it. That ain't you, stinking liar. So, anyway, you're working out. Anybody can say that they're a Christian. Some of you have deceived yourselves. Hopefully, you'll get that fixed today. So you're like, okay, well, how do I work out? How do I do that? How do I do that? Work out my own salvation. If it's not working for my salvation, but it's my salvation that I already have and can't lose, but I need to work it out so that other people can say, oh, yeah, that person, yeah, something different about them. How do I do that? Thankfully, Paul points us to the starting blocks, and he gives us basically two things. All right, so we got 2 points. How many points?
Two.
Does that mean it's going to be a short message?
No.
Not at all. So he gives us these imperatives, all right? And so how do I work my salvation from my inside to my outside? I mean, is this some super secret Christian? No, it is so stinking practical. And I love how he lays it out here. 2 points. How many points?
Two.
Point number one, I shut down my grumpiness. Shut down the grumpiness. Say it. Shut down the grumpiness. Oh, yeah. He starts out with an imperative. Is that optional? No. That's a command to who? You, Christians, right? It's not a command to a pagan. Command to Christians. Do how many things?
All.
Say it louder.
All
things without grumbling or disputing. Shut down the grumpiness. You're like, all things, John, sometimes I got a valid reason to be put out. Seriously. Valid reason. You're like that father of a little country boy, lived out in a country long way away. You know, his family was poor, and they didn't have indoor plumbing. Like my grandparents grew up, you know, when I was a little kid, they didn't have indoor plumbing until I was about 10. Didn't have a bathroom, you know. They just had an outhouse. This little boy had an outhouse. He was tired of the outhouse, especially after he went into town and saw his little friend Billy had this room that they went in, didn't have to go outside. Inside the house, you did your business, you pulled this lever and this swirly thing and everything was gone. And he's got to go out there in the middle of the night if he's got to go bad. And if it's snowing, he's got to walk through the snow. And if it's, 95 degrees, he's got to sit in that thing and do his business in the outhouse. And he is so, he hates, and it stinks. There's a wasp nest in the corner. He hates this outhouse. So he's just like, one day I'm going to get rid of that. His little boy, I'm going to get rid of that. And it was right along the riverbank right there, right along this big creek. And he's like, one day his little mind went into action. I'm going to get that big branch over there, and I'm going to put it underneath there. And it's just I can pry that thing with my little weight, and it's going to go into the river, and it's going to go away from my life forever. Then Dad will have to put an indoor plumbing. So one day it rains, and rains a lot. He's like, thank you, Jesus. He ran out, scampered out, tick, 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 tick. Grabs that big old thing. He's been saving that big old limb. Puts it underneath there with his little boy weight, and it doesn't take much. The outhouse goes, it goes away. He's praising Jesus. He's like, there is a God. That night, Dad comes in, says, Joey?
Yes, Dad?
We're going to the woodshed after supper. Now, you young folks have no idea what that means. How many of you know what that means? Oh, you're going to get a butt whooping. That's where it happened back in the day, the woodshed. Don't know why. I guess there's a lot of wood there. We're going to the woodshed. Why, Dad? Why? Because somebody pushed the outhouse in the creek today. That was you, wasn't it, son?
Well, okay, Dad. Yeah, it was me because he's an only child. So.
But then he's grasping at straws. He's like, but Dad, I was in school today, and I read in school today, and my teacher said that George Washington, man, he chopped down a cherry tree. He didn't get in trouble because he told the truth, Dad. And the father goes, that's right. Your history is right, son. But George Washington's father wasn't sitting in the cherry tree. Got himself a woman. You're like, but John, I relate to that, Dad. Because sometimes I just can't help myself. You mean grumbling. I just can't help myself. Well, that's what you say. But what does God say? Well, I can't help myself. God says, do all things. How many things?
All.
Without. That means not with. Grumbling or disputing. Right? That is a what? Imperative. It's a command. If you don't do it, if you don't obey the command, you are sinning. How many things? That means in your workplace. That means in your home place. That means in your worship space. Means when your in-laws come over? Means this afternoon for some of you? But John, there's a lot of things to be grumpy about. That's just normal. But who? You aren't normal anymore. It is not normal. You know what normal is? After the Garden of Eden, normal is you have no Jesus, you got no spirit, and so no wonder you're grumpy. But when you got Jesus, when you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you're not normal anymore. If you really are a child of God, he's promised that he's working in you, changing you, and that change will start showing. That is what he's talking about here. He says, Philippians 2:13, or 2:12, obey. He's talking about obeying, and then he says, work out. Say, work out your own salvation. Oh, let me do an aside here. Mamas, daddies, that's not your children's salvation. You can't work out your children's salvation because it's in them, it's not in you. And you can't put it in there, and please pay attention. Some of you, as a young parent, I was desirous that, you know, my son Johnny and Melissa and Janelle would trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But one thing that's dangerous is, say, when the older sister gets saved, trusts Christ, gets baptized, all the kids come in here, they all clap, everybody claps, they go, woo, have a party at home. Little Susie, she sees that, she wants that. She doesn't understand it, probably. And if you are pushing that, just pray a prayer, Susie. No! It's not just a prayer. You have to understand what you're praying. You have to understand the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Do not push it. Do not push it. Present it. Two different things. Don't push it, present it. And when they are, you know, you can usually tell with a kid, oh yeah, little Billy, oh my man, I want to trust Jesus. All right, listen now. All right, you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe. All of a sudden, Billy's like, where are my Legos? Billy probably ain't ready, right? Just wait. Man, little Johnny, when he trusted Jesus, what, Robin, at five? Was it five? 5 years old. He turned into a little evangelist. His sister, Melissa, was like two. And he was in the bedroom. We heard him one time. You don't want to go to hell, do you? She's like, what's hell? It's fiery. It's hot. The devil lives there. Don't pray with me right now. Like, whoa, son, whoa. So you work out your own salvation. Say your own salvation. And by the way, they have to work theirs out of themselves too. Yeah. It's called discipleship. For it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it's God, his spirit, who works in you, giving you the desire and the energy to do his will. So note to self, write this down. Be filled with the spirit. Say, filled with the spirit. Filled with the spirit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, oh, there's another imperative. Live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You will not go back to those drugs. You will not beat your wife. You will not gossip online. Do I need to continue? It is a promise. You will not, if you live by the Spirit. That's his promise. And so, well, how can I know if I'm living by the Spirit or not living by the Spirit? And there's a difference between, I don't know if I've said this yet because I've preached, this is the third time. Being indwelt by the Spirit, when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in. When you prayed and you meant it, the Holy Spirit came. You might have felt it, you might not have felt it. When I trusted Christ, I you know me, I'm an emotional, so I was like, but you might just like, you know, I prayed it, I meant it, boom. But whichever, the Holy Spirit, if you meant it, comes in to live inside you. You are indwelt, but that doesn't mean you're filled. There's one indwelling. It's all you get. You get all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. You get him. He seals you to and through eternity. But there are many, 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 many fillings, and some of you have never been filled by the Spirit once. Never have. Don't understand what it means. So he says here, this is being filled by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. It's the whole thing of being filled by the Spirit is living by the Spirit. I every morning I present, you're like, well, John, how do I get filled by the Spirit? You know, do I have some holy ecstasy moment? No, not necessarily, and probably not. Every morning I will pray. First thing, typically, hopefully, if I'm got my cognizance about me. When I wake up, it's usually in the bathroom by this time. Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Typically, I'll quote that. I don't want to live in the flesh today, Lord. At any level do I want to live in the flesh. So, Lord, and then I say, Luke 11, I receive your filling by faith. Please fill me. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. And he's talking about multiple things, needs, etc. He's also talking about the gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit. So you're like, well, John, I want that, I want that. Then you ask for it. Well, is it as simple as that? Well, another thing I do, this is not my notes, but I'll lay it on you because I'm not bragging. I don't do this perfectly. But Jesus' disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I want you folks to know how to pray. And I want you to be filled with this Holy Spirit. And some of you have no idea what that means. Some of you were in churches where they, you know, were like rolling around and stuff and speaking in other languages, and you thought that's what you had to do. That's not it. That's not it. The fullness of the Holy Spirit changes you. It empowers you. It gives you a boldness you've never had, a concern that you've never had for other people's souls, etc. A love for your spouse that you've never had. That's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit does. How do I get that? Every morning, you can write this down if you'd like. I present myself, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, present yourself. Because of God's mercies, the mercies of God, I beg you, I implore you to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is how to find out the will of God. This is the way. This is the way to be filled with the Spirit. When I'm filled with the Spirit, what do? I'm presenting myself like Paul commands. By the way, that's in the imperative. He commands us to present ourselves. And so I'll just present myself. I just pray through that thing. Now, on days when I'm super busy, I won't pray as long through each one, but usually I'll expand it. And so I'll say, Lord, I present myself. And at first, based on your mercies, and I'll go through the list of, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for adopting me. Thank you, I wasn't worthy. Lord, thank you for giving my beautiful wife, Robinette. Thank you for putting me in my family. Thank you for making me American. Right? All of it, because of your blessings. Thank you for this new truck right here. Lord, because of your blessings, because of them, that's what Romans says, I present myself. That's body, soul, spirit, mind, strength. I'm a preacher, so I alliterate. Lord, I give you myself, I give you my soul, I give you my spirit, I give you my stuff, and I give you my society. That's my society is all y'all and my family. I present all of that, anything I'm in charge of or over, I present to you as an offering. In other words, do with it what you want. Me, my health, my wealth or lack thereof, I present it all to you. It is my reason, the Greek word is logikein. It is my logical act of worship. In other words, because of the fact that he died on the cross for your sins, the God of heaven, and we deserve hell, every single one of us deserves hell, but he said, no, I want to save them, and I'm going to have to die on the cross myself, become a human to save them, and he did that. How can I say no to him at any point or juncture of his will? How can I do that? But many of us do it every day long, all day long. We think, oh, that's too much. No, it's not too much. It is your logikein. It is your reasonable act of worship. You want to talk about worship? Some of you think it's like, ooh, and that might be a part of it. But no, worship is Job. When God's will was for Job to be attacked by Satan, he allowed it to happen to glorify himself. And the Bible says when Job lost everything, lost his family, lost his health, lost the respect of his wife, Job fell down on his face in front of God. And the Bible says he worshiped. He worshiped God. He's naked as I came into the world, and naked I will return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That is worship. Worship is me presenting, saying, I don't own me. I don't own any of me. I am just, God has lent it to me. God's lent me this family. God's lent me this church. God's lent me that truck and this money. And so, Lord, anytime, whatever you want to do with it, it is for you to have. And when I do that, he says, you'll find the will of God. And then you have opened yourself up to being, and then just ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he'll fill you. He'll fill you. So if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's so important, we're going to get to it. So be filled with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, the command, and you won't do that sin that you think you can't not do. Well, John, It's so hard. I know it's hard. Because this is you. This is you. Oh, I want to do right. I want to not smoke that doobie. I want to not have sex with my boyfriend. But I don't have any power. Oh, what do I do? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Right there. This glove without this hand is you, many of you. You're like, oh, I can't help but gossiping. No kidding. Because it's just you, and you grew up gossiping, and you're wired, some of you, to gossip. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he brings in, he promises new desires, new strength, new power. And you're amazed at, wow, now I don't have to say that. Now I don't have to have sex with her, you know, even because I'm attracted to her, but I don't have to because of the promise of God. You will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Say, will not. And then you put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Note to self, be fully armored up. Be full of the Spirit and be fully armored up. Ephesians 6:13. I don't have time to go into all this, but also you're like, well, how much time do you spend? You know, you're a pastor. You have time for that. But it doesn't take a lot of time usually. I mean, I can expand it, and many times I do, but sometimes it can be a five-minute process. It's usually a 10 to 15-ish. All right, but again, I realize this is my gig, but you can do this. Put on the whole armor of God. This is a command, right? Say command. Command. It's command to who? Christians. That doesn't just mean preachers. That means all y'all. Because all of y'all are in a war. Say, I'm in a war. Oh, yeah, you are. Satan's coming after you. He's coming after your kids, your family. So therefore, put on the whole armor. How much of it? The whole armor of God. That, here's the promise, you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's gunning for you. Some of you, he's about taking you out. Some of you, he's taking some of your family out. Some of you, he split your marriage up. Take up another command. The whole, he says it again, must be important, armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I can't live the Christian life. Of course you can't. That's what the Christian life is all about. It's not about you. It's not about you trying to be religious. Ah, baptism. Ah, good works. Now, you're supposed to do those things, but you do those things empowered by his Spirit. And then he promises to give you the desire, the want to. Some of you don't have the want to because you don't have this. You're not filled with the Spirit of God. It's no wonder you're not spiritual. You come to church because you're supposed to, or somebody nagged you, or it's Father's Day. Welcome those of you. Hey. Speaking of Father's Day, and let me tell you, the whole armor of God. This is the whole what?
Armor.
All right, now, if I want to embarrass you, I can embarrass 90%, 90, 95% of you by pointing one of you out and saying, all right, stand up. You a Christian? How long have you been a Christian?
20 years.
Name to me all the pieces of the armor of God. And you'd get three of them, four of them. Most of you wouldn't get all of them because you don't spend any time with your, what they call in the military now, kit. You're not kitted up. You don't know where your kit is. You don't know what your kit is. So no wonder Satan just mops the floor with you. You're running out in the middle of the battlefield butt naked. You're out there trying to fight Satan. Put him up, put him up. And he's like, get out of my way. You're fighting him without any spiritual armor. It's no wonder your marriage is crap. It's no wonder your kids are running around crazy. It's no wonder you don't get any prayers answered. It's no wonder you hate your workplace. Because you are not armored up and you don't even know what the pieces of the armor are. It's another thing I do. I'm making it seem more complicated than it is, but I just go from, I roll from one to the other. And I try not to do it, you know, just like, you know, checking a box. But I just say, Lord, I'm going to armor up. And I have to, what's the word? Tactical. I started to say tactical. I'm also tactical, but I'm tactical. And so I have to. So I to, and this helps me remember the pieces of the armor. You ready? Belt of truth. I'm driving. I'll touch it. Stand there, touch it. Robin doesn't know sometimes I'm praying. You know, so we're driving along, and I'm doing different things. I don't know if she's picked up the fact that I'm just like, meh. All right, belt of truth. Lord, I put on the belt of truth. All your truth, whatever your truth, even the truth that you have that I don't like, Lord, I'm tightening it. I'm strapping it on. And I do this for today and every day. But, Lord, I'm just reminding myself. What? Breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to live your truth. Not just put it on and go, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, I'm living your truth. God, help me to consistently live your truth. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God, I'm going to carry your truth wherever you want to carry today. Right truth, right time, right place, right person. I'm going to carry your truth. Lord, so you open the doors because I'm going to carry your truth, specifically your gospel, but your truth. Whatever truth you want me to carry into whatever situation you want me to carry it to. I'm going to, Lord, help me to just open up the doors and help me to carry the truth. Shield of faith. Shield of faith. God, I pray that you give me more faith. And Lord, I know that Satan's attacking me, and you say my faith is that thing which quenches all, here's a promise, all the fiery arrows of Satan. So God, don't let one get through. Let them all. Because he's attacking, Lord. He's attacking through shame. He's attacking through temptation. I pray that I'll keep it up. We'll be like one of those MMA boxers in the ring just like this, you know, keeping his fist down like, ping! Like, keep it up. Shield of faith. Also, 1 John says that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So it's a protection against Satan and the world. And then, helmet of salvation. God, help me to find my identity in your truth. Lord, my position in Christ. And I go on deeper than that usually, but. And then, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, help me to take your word and be aggressive with it. Help my sword not to be rusty. Help me to be skilled in its use. Help me to take territories from Satan, pulling down strongholds and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, bringing every thought, mine and others, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I pray that prayer for all y'all every Sunday before I come in here and every Saturday before I preach. That he's taking strongholds, because some of you got strongholds in your life, in your marriage, and I'm praying that he will, through the word that I preach, tear them down. And so often we see that happening. Then he goes on praying always, so I pray about praying, being alert, and then he says, right words, clear gospel, bold messages. So, be filled with the Spirit and be fully armored up. To help you with that, you're like, I'm so lost. We have something for you. One of our guys, Jason Kuntz, gave me this and some other guys this. It's a challenge coin, right? You familiar with challenge coins? And so we've had over the years different gifts we've given the guys. You know, we give the ladies what we give y'all, the cake pops, right? Cake pops. And so the guys, we try to give them guy things. Like one year we gave them all mini cans of, you know, WD-40. I mean, it's very practical. The guys seem to like it. This year, we're giving you a challenge coin. All right? All you got to be is, you don't have to be a father, be a guy 18 or above, and we will give you a challenge coin. And I want you to keep that with you or put it somewhere that you'll look at it and remind yourself, I need to be armored up because God sees me as the head of this home, and I need to understand. I need to be a spiritual warrior in my family. Amen. So on the way out, make sure you grab one from one of the pastors. If you don't, we have, you know, our photographers around here all the time, and we have your picture, and we're going to put you on our website and put weenie underneath it. Just trying to help you guys. All right. Say, ooh. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Shut down the grumpiness by being filled and fully armored. Amen? All right. Well, John, grumpiness and complaining is not really, you know, that big, I don't think, in the grand scheme of things. You don't know your Bible. Write this down. Grumbling is growling against God. Grumbling is growling against God. It really is. What do you mean it's growling against God? Jude, behold, oh, this is an imperative. In other words, he's saying, look, pay attention. Check this out. The Lord comes, he's talking about his second coming, with thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and convict all of the to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way. You sense a theme going on? And of all the harsh things the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Whew. these ungodly sinners, what are they speaking against him, John? These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. When you grumble, you're acting unsaved. You are. You're acting as if there isn't a God, or you're acting as if there isn't a just, righteous, correct, right God. Because he could change things, and he's not, and you're ticked off. You're grumbling. God hates that sin. Israel, in the wilderness, God sent snakes in their midst. He sent pestilence in their midst. Over and over and over. Why? Because they saw the mighty works of God, and they're just like, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not as good as when we were back in Egypt eating those Greek garlic things. It's not good enough, God. God goes, oh yeah, have a snake. You don't want God to send a snake, right? Quit your stinking grumbling. Repent of that sin. That is a sin. Now, some of you are like, wait, whoa. John, I'm going through hard times. I just got a diagnosis, man. I got a bad diagnosis. Write this down, caveat. Groaning and grumbling are different. Groaning and grumbling are different. Three times in the Word of God, it talks about Christians groaning in their body, right? If you have aches and pains, all of you my age, how do we know we're alive in the morning? It hurts. You wake up and go, all right, I'm alive. Still here. We have what Ryan Buck calls the old man noises. Whenever we do construction, me and Tom Tuttle, if we get up, he goes, there's the old man noise again. It's like, oh. And it is. That's groaning in our bodies. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God groans for us when we have a difficulty, and he is taking our prayer, because when you pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And the Spirit many times translates your prayers, and he is sometimes, when he's praying for you, you're going through so much that he is groaning in utterances that we wouldn't understand. So groaning is different than grumbling. Now groaning, careful, can turn into grumbling if you're not careful. So, what can I do, John? I commit a lot of sin of grumbling a lot. Here it is, just simply. Replace grumpiness with gratitude. Replace grumpiness with gratitude. And I mentally keep a list, and when I'm praying, I typically, you know, thanking God for his blessings. When I'm coming to him, presenting myself because of his mercies, I go through his mercies, and I try to mix them up. You know, and I think I mentioned it before. I mean, the family he gave me to be born into, the country he gave me to be born into, the wife he gave me. When, you know, I stumbled into this church thinking I was going to come here one time and never come back again. And all of the things that God has blessed me with. How can I grumble? How can I grumble? Replace grumpiness with gratitude. But you do that not like this. Because here's this is you grumpy. You grumpy. Grumpy pants. So you get gratitude. You say, Lord, I need you to show me. I need you to empower me because I'm feeling really sorry for myself. Fill me with your spirit. And then you start praising the Lord like Job could when his kids were all dead and his body was full of blistering sores and his wife was nagging him just to cuss God and die, get it over with. How do I work out my salvation from my inside to my outside? Shut down the grumpiness, and I amp up my shininess real quick. Say, amp up the shininess. And you're like, shininess, what's that about? It's the text. Weren't you paying attention? Do, that's in the imperative, so it's not, you know, negotiable. God says, this is something you do. You don't do this, I'm going to come with a butt whooping. We're going to the woodshed. Do all things. Oh, how many things? Without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless. Here's the reason, so that you're blameless, innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in where? The world, holding fast to the words of life. When you do all these things without grumbling or disputing, other people around you that are grumbling and disputing say, they're not grumbling or disputing. What's different with them? It's this whole testimony thing. This world is a dark place. Getting darker day by day, amen, seems like. Maybe we don't know if there's a nuclear war going to start between Israel and Iran. We got college kids donning masks and throwing concrete off of overpasses on cop cars and Molotov cocktails. You got perverts creeping on our kids. I mean, back in the day, and I know this sounds old, but back in my day, mama would kick kids out of the, you know, get out of the house and come back, you know, when the streetlights come on. She had no idea where in town you were or who you were with. And she was okay with that. Nowadays, would you do that? Take our kids, our grandkids to Busch Gardens, Christmastown, every year. And man, I got a vice grip on my grandkids. I got a vice grip on them, or Robin does. I mean, you know, if it was up to me, I'd have one of those dog leash things. Three of them, just like, mush, mush. I mean, we're all paranoid now because the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and it's getting darker and darker. But people of God, that's why he left us here, to light this place up. That's what we're here for. So we as Christians are to be light in this world, dark world of sin. Paul's talking about their testimony. So question to you. Do people around you know that you're a Christ follower? Do they? A disciple of the Master, a saint, no more a sinner, the elect of God. You're like, well, I don't use those terms, John. Okay. But anyone who spends more than 10 minutes around you, talking to you, should start to discern that there's something different. They might not be able to put their finger on it, but they ought to say something different about her. You know? Not necessarily weird, but just something different about her or him. Write down 1 Peter 3:15. I don't have a time to go there, but he talks about you're going to, if you're living this way, if the Spirit of God is helping you to work your salvation outside, people are going to start asking you what's the reason for the hope that, his words, lies within you, that you worked outside, because they're going to see something different. Problem is, a lot of you, your coworkers would be shocked to know that you go to church. I'm not saying stand up on a desk and preach at them tomorrow, although I'd like to see a video of that if you do. But I am saying maybe, you know, you're not shining much at all. So when you're amping up your shininess by his Spirit's power, they'll know. How will they know, John? How will they know? They'll know by, first of all, your love. They'll know by your love. 1 John, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in what? Say it louder. Darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light. In him, there's no cause for stumbling. They'll know by your love. Well, I think I'm pretty loving around here at Point Harbor. John, I think you would admit that I come in Point Harbor, and I am acting pretty loving. But are you loving at home? Are you loving at home to your spouse, to your kids, to your parents? Are you loving there? Look at me. Don't you dare come in here and act heavenly to the people at Point Harbor on Sundays and go home on Mondays through Saturdays and treat your family like hell. Don't do that. You are not filled with the Spirit of God doing that. Well, you don't know my family, John. Man, I tell you, it's like I married into the Manson family, and then we had a whole bunch of little Manson babies. I can't do it, bro. No kidding, you can't do it because this is you. You might be a Christian, but you're not a Spirit-filled Christian. Boy, John, she just, man, I tell you what, my daddy taught me not to beat a woman, but John, I dream about it every night. I can't love her. No, you can't like that, but like this you can. Filled with the Spirit of God, when he's working his power and his truth and his word into you and out of you, he's giving you new desires. He's giving you the energy to do it. That's how you do it. That's how you save your marriage. It's how you rescue your kids. Not by this, because this is powerless. And many of you have tried to be living the Christian life powerless, without the Spirit's filling. So, then they'll also know by your language. You're like, well, I really try of my cussing. I'm not even talking about cussing, although it fits here. All right? I'm talking about you speaking his words, his language. He says in Galatians 5:16, live by the Spirit of God. But then let me see if I can get to where I'm supposed to be. I got lost for a second. Just talk amongst yourselves. There it is. Children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast, here it is, that's what I was looking for, to the word of life. Holding fast to his word, his language, holding it firmly, his word becoming your language. And I'm not talking about you going, you know, and just talking all King James language type thing, but you're claiming his promises, you're understanding his promises, and you're claiming them, applying his principles, living his proverbs, anticipating his prophecy, not because you're some big super intellectual Bible thumper, but because, as he says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you, both to will, to give you the desire, and to work for his good pleasure. Many of you, you have very little Bible understanding or knowledge. You don't have a desire for it. This is why. You're going to heaven, but you're going to heaven empty. You need a desire for the Word of God. You have to be filled, really, with the Spirit of God. And then he promises he works in you to will, to give you the desire and the energy to do it, for his good pleasure. Now, number three, they'll know it by your limits. They'll know your light shining. They'll know something's up because of your limits. What do you mean by limits? 1 Corinthians 6. Wish I had time, man. 19. This was a church of Corinth. They were whacked. They were whacked. They were like a mega church that was whacked. You wouldn't want to be a member. It'd be exciting, but you'd probably kill somebody. And Paul has to write to him and straighten him out. And he says, he's like, oh my goodness, don't you know that your body, say body, is a temple of who? The Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit who lives within you. That's the indwelling right there. Whom you have from God. You're not your own, but you were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. So therefore, glorify. God in your what? Body. That's in the imperative. You have to do it or he's coming at you and taking you to the woodshed. Christian, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. So therefore, what do? Here's how I worship God. I give him, I present him my body and I glorify him with my body. God, and the problem, many of us were like, oh man, I don't know the choices I need to make here. No, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. All you got to do is understand that, believe it, and say, all right, Lord, this is not my body anymore. Those of you guys that have a problem looking at porn, all you have to understand, it's not your body. You want Jesus' eyes looking at porn? These are Jesus' eyes. Every time you look at porn, it's not your eyes you're using. It's the ones that Jesus bought. So I told you guys, I've been telling you for a long time, the thing that I've trained myself is whatever, you know, for somebody, you go to the beach and here's this chick that she's in her little sister's bikini. She's like, and as a man, you're wired to, I'm not making excuses, this is wiring, you're wired to, you know, you're attracted by sight. But instead of you go, you're going to see, you go, whoa, you're going to have the whoa move, whoa, not my eyes. Has to come quick. Not my eyes. Not my eyes. These are not my eyes. Because the Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Guys, we've all got this temptation. All of us. But it says God is able to give you a way to escape it. Every temptation comes with God saying, here's a way to escape it. Here's a way to escape it. I'm allowing you to be tempted. We don't know why, but here's a way to escape it. Here's your out. And your out, dudes, is not my eyes. I'm bought with a price. Sorry. Can't do it. Amen? Or drugs, or lying, or gossiping, or whatever. You were bought at a huge price. So therefore, glorify God in your body. So he's got some limits to for my good and for his glory, because he doesn't want his body. Some of you take his body into the bed of other people. Last week, some of you jumped in. Some of you are shacking up, living together right now. And maybe you're ignorant and you don't understand the word of God, but that's his body. If you, girl, really are a child of God, you are taking what Jesus has bought and throwing it in a bed with somebody you're not married to. And he promises he's coming after that. You going to the woodshed? Well, John, I think this stuff that I've been doing is not that bad, you know. All that bad anyway. Anyway, there's a few things. And some of you have been eating dad's brownies. You've been eating dad's brownies. What do you mean? Father of some teenagers, you know. He had this real Christian dad. Kids, in this family, we will not watch R-rated movies. I don't care what. Okay, Daddy, it was fine when they didn't have the R-rated movies they wanted to watch. But they got a little bit older, and this one blockbuster came on. All of their friends, even their friends at church, had seen this movie. They're like, Daddy, we want to see. No, I said, no. Oh, come on, Dad. So they went to their friends and like, all right, we're going to get scientific about it. We're going to have a list of pros and cons. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes it's just rated R for violence, a little bit too much of this, that, and the other. And so what are the pros and what are the cons? They got back with Dad, and they said, hey, Dad, we talked to, you know, and Billy, he's a church, and he's a deacon's dad, you know, son. And so we got the pros and the cons, and we're going to even give you the cons first, Dad. Dad's like, all right. Well, it contained some F words, but only three. Only. Okay. And there was a sex scene, but it was, you know, tasteful. And that's it, Dad. But the pros are, it's super popular. All our friends have seen it, you know, even our church friends. And it's got these new fantastic special effects. And it's going to win, I'm sure, major awards. Everybody's going to be talking about it. And people are going to look at us like we, you know, are just weirdo Christian weirdos. Come on, Dad. So since there's more pros than cons, please reconsider just one time. You know, your kids do. Just one time. So Dad looks at the list and says, all right, let me have a day to think and pray about it. They're like, oh, they're thinking, we got him with our list of pros and cons. They come back the next day, come in the family room, the den, and they come in smiling a little bit smugly because they're sure that, you know, the old man has been broken by their logic. On the coffee table, there's something they've never seen before, brownies cooked by their dad. They're like, what's this? Dad says, oh, well, I thought about it, prayed about it, you know, read your little list. And I've decided you can go to that R-rated movie if you'll eat one of these brownies. Well, what? But like these brownies, you know, have some pros and cons. What are they? Well, they're made with the finest chocolate. That's a pro, you know. They have added special effect of walnuts. And I've made the fantastic brownies out of an award-winning recipe from an award-winning chef I found online. Those are the pros. Well, what's the con? Only one? Okay, what is it? Well, while I was mixing up the batter in the bowl, I had to go out. Dog was barking. Found out he'd pooped, so I took a little bit of poop, put it in the batter, mixed it in there. Now, I want to tell you, girls, it's only a little bit of poop. Not a lot of poop. You know, just a little. Tastefully done. And I cooked them at 350 degrees for, you know, 45 minutes. I'm sure that any bacteria has been totally destroyed. They're just like, and he says, so if any of you kids could stand to eat the brownies, which just includes a little bit of crap and not be affected by it, then I'll know that you're also able to go to a movie that just has a little bit of smut and not be affected by it. Know your limits. Say it. Know your limits. By the way, they didn't go to the movie. This text is saying, amp up your shininess, up, not down. Some of us are dim lights. Now, if you don't have a light, I don't believe you're Christian. There's some of you. But some of you, you're a dim light. You love that song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little, emphasis on little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And others of you have grown. You know, you got a little more light. You know, you're growing, you disciple others of you. Yeah. And still others of you. See if I can get you. No, you ain't there. Dang it. 1 second. Wow. All right. Well, anyway, I had a strobe light. You're a strobe light. Some of us are dim lights. Self-test real quick. Don't look back at the time. You won't like it. I think I'm shining okay, John. Self-test. How many people at work know you even go to church? Many of you. Nobody. If that's you, you get a little dim light. Awesome. How many people at work know you're a follower of Jesus and you love him? Some of you. Others of you, you know, you got the medium light because they do. You're not bragging about it, but it's just you. You can't help it. He's working it out of you. How many people in 2025 have heard you share your testimony about how you were saved by Jesus from hell? Any of you? Nobody. Others of you? Bright light. How about this? How many of you have actually won someone to Jesus in 2025? Most of you. Well, I'm not a preacher. I wasn't a preacher either, and they told me when I was a young Christian in the Navy, you need to learn to witness. And I'm like, I mean, it scared me to death. And I'm a talker, right? But you get me to around the buddies that I used to go drinking with and bar hopping with, and you want me to talk to them about Jesus? I'm like, oh, man, no way. But then I saw it was in the imperative. It's an imperative. So I'm like, oh, Jesus, Lord, you got to do it through me. And so this, I can't witness to anybody. But when this happened, God started using me on the USS San Diego as an E5. And we had these Bible studies, and folks would come, and many times people would come to me with questions because they said, there's something, we used to go out, you know, doing all kind of things, John, but something's changed about you. What is it? God opened doors. He gave me the power. He gave me the desire. And in that cruise, between myself and my other buddies, we went over 20 people to Jesus on my last cruise. And that was before I ever became a pastor at all. It's God who works in you. So Philippians 2:12, obey, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How do I do that, John? I've told you how. See point one and two. Revisit it online. Quit your grumbling and start your shining. He's just very practical. And dads, fathers, men, why don't you step up? Since it's Father's Day, why don't you be the spiritual leader in your family? Well, John, you know, she knows a lot more Bible than me and all that. I don't know what I'm doing. This is you. You might be 6'3" and weigh 245, but spiritually, you're a weenie. Why don't you say, I'm going to learn how to get filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm going to learn how to get fully armored up, and I'm going to fight for my family. Why don't you go out there and get one of these challenge coins, because it is to challenge you to do just that. Get off your butts. Quit getting your tail handed to you by Satan. Learn how to fight for your family. And embrace the victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. God, we pray that you'll help us to do that, exactly that. Lord, use us in a mighty, powerful way. And God, help us to be the men and the women that you created us to be. Not doing it in our own power, but fully, fully, fully armored up and full of your Spirit. And God, you've already given us the victory. Help us to claim it. I pray for every family here. Now, real quick, right where you're at, just say, I double dog dare you to pray this, man or woman. Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. Some of you never prayed that. Please fill me with your Spirit. And if you won't, show me why not right now. What am I doing? Have I got a sin in my life? What? Am I not really a Christian and don't even have the Holy Spirit? Show me. But Lord, help me to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. And fully armored up. Help me to learn what that means. Because we are in a war. And I'm getting my butt handed to me, Jesus. Give me the victory. In Jesus' name. All God's men and women said.